Hello, we are Angela Benjamin
and David J. Lilly,
and we are both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We are both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or creative type, or spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkling chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple, Spotify, and Chrome Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Ange
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life. Hello, Ange. How are you?
Hi, David. Long time no see.
I know. It's been ages, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it. Good to be back in the hot seat.
Yeah. Back together again.
Yes. I actually had a nice walk yesterday and I listened to your lovely interview with Guy Jen.
Yeah, Amanda.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Very nice.
Thank you very much. She's a lovely lady. It's so lovely to have actually probably met her. I know, obviously, via Zoom, but to have met her after chatting via Instagram more than anywhere else for so long. So that was really fun because we'd hoped to meet up, obviously, while we're in Canada. But we are now looking at flights back to Canada in June, and we may go via Toronto.
Fantastic.
As I'd never been to Toronto, because the flight's cheaper that way, and it seems like there's a 12-hour stopover you can get there, in which case I will get an opportunity to actually meet her and her husband, Ken, in person, as they live very close to Toronto.
Excellent. And by the looks of things, you're in your studio, I can see behind you.
I am, indeed. I am back in the barn on the farm, and thoroughly enjoying being here.
Are you busy? Have you got lots of work on?
I have been, both stained glass and with the jewellery. I'm waiting for a gold ring that's been cast to come back hopefully this week, which is the last of the commissions that I had prior to going away that need finishing. So I'm looking forward to getting that back, which is exciting. The other commissions are all done now and everything's waiting to go to the assay office. And I don't know how long the assay office in London is taking at the moment to get things back. I might have to go and do a one day and bite the bullet on the cost.
I'm sort of signalling here by shaking my head and nodding. I absolutely love them and I generally don't have any complaint, but the last piece I put in, granted it was over an Easter weekend, but it took over 2 weeks and that's the longest I've had to wait for a piece. So yeah, be prepared.
Yeah, I'm kind of running out of time. If we're moving back to Canada in June, I know it's only the 2nd of May, but if I send stuff off at the end of this week and it takes 2 weeks, it's really kind of pushing it if there's a delay. And they're not very good at communications, I've discovered. You can only communicate them with the via email and they don't reply. Well, they don't reply to me anyway.
I get replies.
Oh, you're obviously a much nicer person than I am.
Wow, that goes going insane, really. So what else have you been up to?
Yeah, I used to like you.
I'm a cheekier person.
clearly, yes. What else have I been up to? So I have been doing some designs for stained glass. One is for a local client who wants a reproduction of Victorian windows for their front door. So pretty ordinary geometric shapes. I'm waiting to hear back. The other is for a client I had back in 2007. And they lived in a cottage where they had a stream that ran by it with a bridge over it. And they wanted me to do a window which depicted a view that they couldn't really see. They knew was outside the house or outside the cottage, and it was two mallards in a stream with the bridge over it and willow kind of hanging down. And they moved from that house last year to a new one. It used to be an old bakery, and they have a small window that looks onto nothing, so they thought it'd be fun to have a stained glass window in it. So in this stained glass window, they don't want ducks and stream. They want their cat, which is a tortoiseshell and white, very cute. They want a cottage loaf because it used to be a bakery, but this bakery also used to make pies. So they want a pie. So this is not a big window either. This window is about 770 mil by 330, something like that. So I've come up with a design with a loaf, a cat, and a pie in it. And I could see you wanted to burst out laughing because this has got to be one of the most hilarious designs I've ever done.
It sounds like the punchline for a joke. I'll have to go away and think about that, but I'm quite good at puns and things, so I'm going to go away and think of a cat alone at the party. I can't wait to see the design, though. I think definitely you've got to do a show and tell next time, and I can describe it. If you hold it up to camera, I'll describe it to whoever's listening.
Well, I've sent them the original idea, which I think is rather boring, personally. But yeah, with that amount of space, there's not a lot you can do. So we'll see. We'll see what they come back with, whether they have cat pie and loaf or not. But something will come out in the wash. So yeah, so I've been doing designings of that. I have busy with making jewelry, and I've been finishing off some stuff since I got back as well. There was a necklace that I had started, but the gems for the actual necklace bit rather than the pendant hadn't arrived until I left. So that's been done. I've been working on part of a new collection called Varuna, and I'm working on a ring for that at the moment, which has three pink kunzites in it.
What's the inspiration? Where does Varuna come from?
The inspiration is from the starship fighters of the Naboo nation in the Star Wars story.
You seem to be glazing over.
Okay, so let's back up. So you've heard of Star Wars, yes?
I have heard of Star Wars.
So Star Wars is science fiction. And one of the worlds in Star Wars, in the second lot of films that a lot of people poo-poo, is the world of Naboo. And the shape of their starfighters, I've always really loved. They're incredibly elegant, and they're always shown in a very kind of shiny chrome finish. And I thought I'd like to try and do something with the shapes that they use, because they are very kind of fit into the kind of mid-century aesthetic. So I was initially calling the collection Naboo. And Chris said, you can't do that, it's too obvious. Well, clearly it wasn't obvious, because it wasn't obvious to you. But anyway, we looked at different names that we could give this collection. Fresh, being the person who researches the arse end out of everything, came up with the fact that there are, in the Star Wars lore, two moons that go around the planet Naboo, one of which is called Varuna. So, I like that, but like the name Varuna. So that's how this collection has its name.
Oh, well, you know, I know I scoffed a bit at the whole Star Wars thing when you first mentioned it, but that does sort of bring to mind a commission that I did a few years ago. And it was the client found my Etsy shop, and they were in Hawaii, and they wanted an engagement ring. And I said, okay, that's great. They sort of like the style of my work, but they wanted the engagement ring to be the Star Trek insignia. So, you know, the little logo. So yes, inspired by that. So at first I thought, oh my God, first of all, I've never watched Star Trek. Well, I haven't since I was a kid. So quickly went online and sort of Googled loads of images. And then I actually found elements of the shape that I really loved, because at first I thought, I can't do this. What do I know about Star Trek? But being inspired by the actual shape, I managed to come up with a design that they actually really loved. I designed what I thought was quite a cute Star Trek-inspired engagement ring with a little citrine. And apparently, the couple were big Trekkies, and they posted it on Twitter. And I suddenly got lots of Trekkie Twitter followers, which was lovely.
Fantastic.
But yes, you never know where a commission will lead you. Often something you were talking about with Amanda, and how sometimes it can be quite challenging bringing the client's idea to life and making it as real as possible for them while still being faithful to your own design styles, because that's something she mentioned. And I also find tricky sometimes if I have a certain style that I want to depict in my work, but someone wants a commission that's completely alien to that. Do I push through and try and do it and bring their idea to life, or do I stay faithful and actually say, no, that's not me? And of late, I've gone more for the latter, because I feel that they'll get the best results if they go with someone whose style is more consistent with what they want, and I'll feel more comfortable. Don't know how you feel about that.
I agree. It's been interesting working with the couple, that one of whom is waiting for the gold ring, because they had old jewellery that they wanted used to start with. And there was only one gem, which is a cabochon garnet, which has gone into Ian's brooch pin. And that is inspired entirely by one of my existing collections, the Air, EIR collection. So it's exactly that shape. It has two gems on the bottom. One, in this case, with our, I mean, the piece is asymmetric anyway. The gems are in that one is an oval cabochon and one is a round faceted garnet. So you've got the two garnets there. That was easy to do. The ring that Ray wanted, he knew he wanted something that was of my aesthetic, i.e. brutalist, mid-century, but he didn't know what he wanted further than that. He did think he wanted possibly a ring that was not joined in the middle. So the two parts of the shank came up across the finger, but didn't join. And so that was kind of what I had to go with. And I wanted to do the work for them because they were lovely people. And it was interesting to come up with all sorts of ideas that could take that brief, incorporate my style, and somehow appeal to him, not knowing exactly what he wanted. So it's not that they had a different aesthetic. It's just that they had no real specific idea other than that it was in the style that I make things. And I probably came up with about 9 different designs for the ring. And the only thing he did want was trillion cut Alexandrites. So they had to be incorporated into the style somehow. And that was an interesting challenge to do. It was at first infuriating in that I felt I wasn't getting even what I wanted from the design. I so didn't want to show them. But eventually, as I said, I came up with 9 different things that were the same but different in so much as they all incorporated the two gem and in some way or other were kind of not one complete ring. They went with one of those 9 and we refined it, and, you know, got to where we were. But it was interesting to have this work for a couple making 2 very different things, one that was very clearly already what I'd created just by the only tweak being the 2 different gems on it, and the other one where I was kind of working from scratch. And also trying to, because it was being cast from predominantly the metal they had, they didn't necessarily want to add a lot more metal to it. Wow. So trying to create something that was about the right weight for the amount of gold that I had. So it was an interesting challenge. Where people have come and asked me to do something that was very not me, I've said that there's bound to be someone else that can do it for you. Or if someone sees the jewelry I'm wearing, like my wedding ring, it's not, I mean, I love it, but it's not my style, and I would never make something like it. So I'll always tell people who made it and go and see Phoebe. I don't think that really answers your question, but it's probably all you're going
to
get.
I think it has. I think we kind of concur really in that we work within our own aesthetic, but it sounds like you like a challenge, like me. You like a challenge, so you'll push yourself to get the most out of the brief to the client's satisfaction, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
From what you described, he loves your work and he loves your aesthetic and the brutalism. And so it was just a matter of honing him down to which one of those that you liked or he liked and then going for that. So yeah, I think, yeah, like yourself, I think I do like to push myself if the client is reasonably vague. I'm working on a piece at the moment, which is a ring. The lady in question found an article that I'd been featured in The Independent and contacted me, and the article's like from 2020, and contacted me and said, oh, is the ring still available? Can I have that one? No, it's like 3 years ago and that one's gone. With a lot of toing and froing, we eventually whittled it down to the fact that she wanted a bespoke piece made. So I've made the piece for her. But again, she didn't really have a style. She had a stone, so she wanted a turquoise stone, triangular turquoise stone, which she sourced, and all the only specification she had was that she wanted an open section in the ring. She's got quite arthritic fingers and needed to have some adjustability when her hands. So it was kind of left to me, really. And yes, I love geometric shapes, but this shape and putting it into a ring and something quite bulky kind of threw me initially. But then, as part of my scholarship, I'm working with, or I have done classes with, a jeweler called Aurelie Della Santa, and I'll probably tag her as someone to know. Aurelie does beautiful sculptural, lots of sort of animal inspired pieces, and she does a lot of wax carving, but before she casts she'll make little models using Super Sculpey. And this is something that I'd never done before, and doing Aurelie's classes she'd always encourage us to do this, and I thought, oh, it's so long-winded, I'd start carving. But for this particular brief it worked so well because I didn't know where I wanted to start, and I needed to do something that the client could actually reference and think, okay, this is what my ring's going to look like. So I made this little model of the ring, set the gem in it, and I had some silver paint in the shed, painted the ring silver, sent it to the client and she said, oh, you've made the ring already. It's great. So yeah, so I think it's going to be a success, but it was really nice way of actually quite quick formulating a piece into 3D and seeing how it will look, how it will fit, and then having something to show the client. Okay, it's quite crude and not as sophisticated as they, you know, a CAD design would be, but it worked. And it also helped me more so have a model in mind before I actually started carving the wax piece.
Interesting. That's a really great idea as well. It's thinking about your aesthetic just reminded me of something that I saw over the weekend that I definitely wanted to talk to you about. So I've talked about Justin before from Xander Gemstones, because I get a lot from him. And he has a sale at the moment, but there is a gem on his Etsy page at the moment, which I think you would love, which is geometric in shape. It's got a barrel, faceted barrel top, a rounded, and then it comes down from wider shoulders down to narrower ones at the bottom. So have a look at his Etsy page, because I think... I think you might like it.
I do love it when you tag me into stones that you think I'll love, because it's like, oh, this is good.
That's it, more money to spend.
Exactly. Oh, no, it's great. So what else is on the cards for you this week then?
So I have a new mentee who I'm doing a rapid once a week mentoring for 6 weeks.
Right.
And they're doing an MA. It's coming to the end. So they wanted a mentor who understood stained glass.
Yeah.
And so I'm working with them. They're based up in Birmingham and they are thinking about stained glass and puppetry.
Gosh, that's very diametrically opposed in my brain anyway.
I wouldn't have gone there either. But it's absolutely fascinating. And we're talking about not only techniques making, constructing the stained glass, but also we're looking at colour. In that they have a real fear of certain colours together. They find it very difficult to see certain colours. But they're wanting to obviously use colour, because let's face it, stained glass is all about colour. And the idea of the whole concept behind what they're doing is taking fear and depicting it as joy. And so we were going from the fact that they are starting with black, because that's what they tend to wear, what they tend to use when it comes to depicting anything. And the colour for them that is joy is a particular pink.
Oh, wow. I love
it. And so what I've given them to do as a kind of experiment is to set out a series of circles around a black center, and on the very outside, color it the pink and see what they can find by adding colors in these rings from black to pink. What colors they can put in that works for them, that they can work with, that sit next to one another, so that they can come up with a color palette to put in this puppet.
Interesting.
As the transition from fear to joy.
And it being a gentle transition rather than just leaping into color, they work their way slowly to it.
That's where I was with them last week, and obviously speak with them later today, and we'll get some more info on how they got on with that.
Excellent. Well, I've been trying to photograph the new pieces that I've made, one of which I posted yesterday. I'm doing a product photography course, part of the scholarship, which I'm hoping will help hone my photography skills with my camera, my SLR, as opposed to using my phone. So I've sort of set myself up with my very crude light box and taken a few shots of these new pieces. And going back to our earlier conversation about names for collections, my new collection that's coming out, it's a mini one. And the name that I've now settled on is Willow. However, I'll explain. It started off as Rennie. Now, when I say Rennie, what springs to mind?
Well, my mind went two ways at once. It went Charles Rennie Mackintosh, and it went a little white pill that also aids digestion.
Exactly. Well, it was the former that was the inspiration. And I've been setting it all up on my laptop, on my website, sort of doing all the product descriptions, gaily putting Rennie all the way through, and then suddenly thought, oh my God. Rennie is an indigestion tablet. I can't call it that. You know, the SEO on that's going to be quite interesting. And rapidly goes to Google, research my hero, Charles Rennie Mackintosh. One of my heroes, to see if there's any other interesting name that I could give to this mini collection. So, long story short, my day job is a physiotherapist. And as part of my physio career, I've completed a master's in sports medicine. And I did that at Glasgow University. And I was lucky enough to be surrounded by these beautiful Macintosh buildings. And one of my favourite places was the Willow Tea Rooms, hence Willow. They had, you know, beautiful chairs, and are the main inspiration for the pieces that I'm putting together. But yes, I thought Willow was a lot less controversial. But maybe it's an age reference thing, David. I don't think younger people would necessarily know what Rennie was, would they?
Depends how much they eat, stroke, drink at the weekend to know how much they know what a Rennie is.
True, very true. So yes, I've had naming dilemmas. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? You know, because I've always been told and taught that having collections, you need to have a name for it. And actually, the collection I'm putting together for scholarship, I still haven't honed down the name, and I've got, you know, a month to come up with something. But is that something that you find quite easy, or you have
it's,
a formula?
It's hit and miss.
What about it?
Funnily enough, now that you've just talked about Rennie to Willow, I'm thinking of Varuna. I'm wondering whether it sounds too much like Veruca, whether that's a good one.
No, it doesn't. We're getting a little bit medical. The sort of the tone of the podcast is changing now. Come on, let's pull it back.
Well, okay, so let's go. So let's go through the collection. So the first collection was called Menhir because it looked like little menhirs, like standing stones. It was a shape. And also that for me tied up having done the medicine walk previously and being told or understanding that my work should be monolithic. And I thought it meant big. And no, it didn't. It means depicting monoliths, which are menhirs. So that's how, you know, that's how that name came about. Continuum was because I was taking the idea of the Celtic knot, which is a continuous line. So continuum seemed an obvious name for that. Some people know what Sputnik is. It was obviously the first thing that went into space, whizzed around. And because the synthetic opal looks like the night sky, it's got things sparkling, you know, bright things sparkling in something dark. And it had the little kind of radar shape with the pearl and the silver on it. It seemed to say something about space to me. And so Sputnik just kind of came in as a silly name for it. So that's how that came about. Air was an interesting one because I'd come up with a design which was almost based on an ancient lyre, but upside down. So I was looking at what can I do that is something to do with a lyre. I didn't want to call it lyre because it wasn't. It's the wrong way. And it was because a friend of mine said, I would like to put some energy into your work for you, psychic energy into your work. I thought, okay, so let's think, how does that reflect into the work and the name that we give it? And so I ended up looking at gods, and what we eventually found out that there were certain gods that used to play lyres, and one of them was the Norse god Eir, E-I-R. So that's how that came about. So yeah, there's kind of different ways that I've found names for the collections. Chevron was a pretty obvious one because it was all kind of triangular shapes. Canberra was because the original inspiration for it was a piece of sculpture that was for the Canberra, the ship. The name came out of the original piece that inspired the whole collection. So different ways that I found you know, that I have given names to collections.
No, I'm similar. I think my earrings, the asymmetric, geometric ones, the pentageo, the penta is literally five-sided, and geo being geometric. And I wanted to keep it quite simple, sort of being quite clean with the shapes, and then with the additions that I've recently put out with the collection, the sort of ear jackets, I've got pentageo shadow, which is a small front, and pentageo echo, which are two smaller size, and then the larger size behind. So try to keep them clean as possible, but it is difficult because often you look as well and there are other jewelers or other big brands that have got similar names. But I think because we're working as independent, and you know, our inspirations tend to be more personal. I think it's that sort of coincidence of naming won't come up as often.
No, absolutely true. And yeah. I think it's great. I mean, I do find that when it comes to each individual piece, some of the names get ridiculously long.
No.
In that, yes. You know, in that I'll describe it often by what's in there. So it'll be the gem name and then the collection name tacked on the back of it. And when it came to Sputnik, there were three rings. So they're the large, the medium, and the small. And I thought, this is otherwise, I'm going to have to give them all weird, wonderful names. You know, Big Sputnik, Little Sputnik, Brighter Sputnik, Duller Sputnik, whatever. So large, medium, small. You know, in the end, it just became sensible to do it that way. But sometimes it is difficult to actually give it a name that is part of the collection and individual to itself, unless it's all the Darrah Carrere collection, which is, again, Darrah Carrere was collection was inspired by Roger Darrah Carrere, an interesting surname in itself. And so, you know, that became the name of the collection, the Topaz Darrah Carrere ring, or it's the whatever, you know, each different gem gives that ring its individual name type of thing. So, yes, and we're running out of time as usual.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just wanted to quickly name drop, and this might lead into who else I'm recommending this week. Well, not name drop, actually. I have entered my first competition.
Oh.
Have a hat's chance of winning, but it is a jewelry competition organized by an organization called CHROIC, and that is CHROIC.
Right.
And it's a competition for jewelers from the Caribbean African diaspora find jewelry. So I think that's where it's going to let me down, because I'm not really a fine jeweler. But the showcase and prize giving is this Thursday night.
Okay.
So that should be a bit of networking.
Yeah.
They will be showing a lot of the entrants on their Instagram. So their Instagram is @CHROIC. CHROIC.
Cool.
My other recommendation is the jewelry tutor that I mentioned, Aurelie De La Santa. Let me spell that. Aurelie is AURELIDELLASANTA. And yeah, she makes fabulous jewelry, but she's also a wonderful tutor at Morley as well.
Okay.
And your recommendations for this week?
Well, I'm going to go with Metalsmith Society. I don't know if you know Metalsmith Society.
Yes,
it's run by Corky Bolton, I think her surname is. And for those that don't know Metalsmith Society, I find it a really useful little, sounds rather demeaning, a useful profile to be connected with on Instagram, because Corky has all sorts of different tips and things on there. And just recently, she's been doing a competition with, I think it's Sunstone or Sunstar, who make one of the kind of laser manufacturers. That if you like there, if you like and follow her, and you like and follow them, and then tag other people in that feed, you could possibly win one of their lasers. Sunstone, yeah, the Sunstone M-Pulse laser. So I thought, let's just talk about it, because they're bloody good, these lasers, and I can't afford £2,500 to buy one, but I'd love to win one.
It is amazing. So if you... of my tutors have recommended that it's great for, you know, if you're making quite complicated pieces, maybe just tacking them together before you solder. So just from that point of view, I wouldn't mind having one in the she shed or the she cave.
Yeah, and they seem great for chains, especially with really fine metal as well. So yeah, Metalsmith Society, all one word, is going to be my recommendation for this episode.
Brilliant. Well, it's been great to be reunited, Mr. Lilly. I've missed you.
It's been lovely to see you too.
And we can talk a bit more about my delivery next time.
It's yes, we can.
Not helping me with making, but yeah, we'll chat a bit more about that when I've had a chance to actually use them. So
good luck with the competition.
Thank you. As I said, I haven't got a chance in hell, but it's going to be a really nice evening, and I'm going to be seeing some really amazing fine jewelry.
And you have got as much chance as anyone else. Don't deny it. All right, you take care.
All right, you too, love. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us in another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track of Topi, which is our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.